Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and you understand our translations may not agree. I also want to invite you to our in-person Bible study on Wednesdays from 5:15 to 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall at the church. A similar encounter of our passage is described by the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 34 through 40, and in Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 through 28. But in both Matthew and Luke, the questioner is a lawyer who questions to test Jesus. In Luke, the encounter happens earlier in Jesus' ministry and sets up the parable of the Good Samaritan. Matthew joins Mark in placing the story towards the end of Jesus' ministry. After a series of entrapment questions from Pharisees, Herodians, and Sadducees in chapter 12, verse 13 through 27, this story comes as a surprise. The scribe who approaches Jesus with a question is presented in a positive light. Of the 19 references to scribes in the Gospel of Mark, this one is alone in that regard. He has overheard the disputes and recognizes that Jesus' answers are good, i.e., that he has answered them well, and the sincerity and perception of the scribe are welcome. In Judaism, the rabbis had counted 613 commands, 248 positive commands corresponding to the number of parts of the body, and 365 negative commands corresponding to the number of days of the year. In our passage, Jesus is being asked about which one is first. The scribe's question is appropriate to Judaism's continued reflection upon its tradition and faith, and trying to keep perspective and not stray from the center. At verse 29, "The Lord is one." That is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And it became the central confession of Judaism, the Shema, that is the Hebrew word for hear, which is the first word of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And I think this is the only place in the New Testament where the passage is explicitly quoted. Grammatically, commands usually use the imperative verb, such as do this and don't do that. The only imperative verb in Jesus' answer is hear. And at the risk of boring you, it is a present tense imperative, which implies continual or repeated action. In other words, keep on listening or continue to hear. This command to listen is used elsewhere in Mark. At chapter 4, verse 3, listen. A sower went out to sow. In some ways, the parable of the sower is about different ways of hearing. Also in chapter 4, at verse 9 and verse 23, and then at chapter 7, verse 16, the variant reading, let anyone with ears to hear listen. At chapter 7, verse 14, listen to me, all of you, and understand. At chapter 9, verse 7, this is my son, the beloved, listen to him. Perhaps then, the first command of all is to listen or hear. Commentators are mixed on whether or not Jesus' answer is original with Jesus. Some commentators suggest that Jesus is giving a traditional answer, that rabbis before Jesus had joined the Shema with the command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, again found in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18b, and doing that in a captual statement of Israel's faith and ethic. Others, citing a lack of physical written evidence, although Philo comes close, feel that Jesus was the first. And going back to our grammar lesson, I know how much you guys love this, When Jesus answers in verses 29 through 31, Jesus uses the second person singular. In other words, Jesus is saying, you, singular, not y'all, shall love. Jesus is telling the scribe what he should do. When the scribe responds in verses 32 through 34, he makes it impersonal. The great commandment is to love. He doesn't say, you're right, I should love. And some have suggested that the scribe was simply engaging in an intellectual exercise. And they note that Jesus' answer says the scribe has answered wisely, or thoughtfully, or intelligently. The Greek word is nun ekose, a word that is related to the Greek word for mind, which is nous, or nous, and that this is why the scribe was only close to the kingdom. In other words, you are not far from the kingdom. But I'm not convinced. Jesus has had no problem in the past holding people accountable when their actions don't measure up to their words. In fact, in Luke's version of this story, at Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and following, when the lawyer answers, Jesus responds, you have answered correctly, do this and you will live. But of course, the lawyer wants to justify himself and he asks the follow-up question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan and then concludes that parable with, go and do likewise. The fact that the scribe in verse 33 responds to Jesus by saying that the love of God and neighbor are more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices is also a reminder to us that such love takes precedence over rituals. Law can lose its heart. Ritual can lose its reason. A relationship can lose its love, and when that happens, faith is distorted. Their conversation reminds us that the kingdom of God is about living, doing, and relating in ways that the love of God and love of neighbor inspire, inform, and discipline. But we also want to make sure we don't turn this into a works righteousness formula for gaining entrance into God's kingdom. We gain entrance by grace, not by our works. Our works are simply a response to the grace we have received. The Great Commandment contains three key elements in Christian faith. 1, belief in one God. 2, wholehearted devotion to God. And 3, love of neighbor. What does it mean for Christians today to say, the Lord our God, the Lord is one? Most of us do not live surrounded by temples to Zeus or Apollos, but we are surrounded by a casual pluralism that accepts whatever anyone believes as okay, and a temptation to allow good things that are not ultimate to become the ultimate and defining forces in our lives. Some examples might include our nation, our occupation, our family, or our political views. In some ways, the encounter of the scribe and Jesus are an illustration of this. Their exchange occurs according to verse 28, during a dispute between Jesus and the representatives and leaders of the religious establishment who have been hostile to Jesus throughout his ministry. But Jesus and the scribe are able to transcend the party strife and cross the dividing line of hostility to confess a common faith, because they join together in the conviction that there is no commandment greater than love of God and neighbor. They are able to treat each other as neighbors. They step away from the us versus them categories. The scribe is able to see Jesus as the teacher, and Jesus is able to recognize the scribe as a pilgrim moving toward the kingdom. Their lived out devotion to God and neighbor, as we see in verse 34, silences the debate. In conclusion, as we have seen in the Gospel of Mark. Mark presents the kingdom of God as a future reality that is already affecting the present. By responding in faith to Jesus and his message, one is prepared to enter the kingdom when it arrives. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care, and God bless.